Remember the 1980 hit from Mac Davis that highlights the challenges of being on top of the heap of the music industry? Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. You can join me on this. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a bleep of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. And on that song, I truly am doing the best that I can. Oh, it's hard to be humble. Huh? Jesus knew that. Back in 1963, Muhammad Ali, a now deceased legendary boxer, said, "At home, I'm a nice guy, but I don't want the world to know. Humble people, I found, don't get very far." Ali had a solid perspective on how the world views humility. But for those who seek to walk in God's ways, there is more to it than meets the eye. The tendency is to think that there are plenty of people who are willing to put dirt, your face, in the dirt. Why would you want to give them a head start? Yet humility is something that God, from the earliest days in Scripture, affirms. God says in Psalm 25, can lead and teach people who are humble. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord says to King Solomon, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The call was for repentance, for people in humility to admit that they'd strayed from God's ways. How many times do we insist that it is others who have strayed, refusing to see any need for me to acknowledge my error? In the New Testament, the Christian community is called to put on humility like it's a baptismal garment. Clothed in Christ, who was the epitome of humility, this is now how the followers of Christ are called to treat one another in their relationships. It says these words in 1 Peter 5. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in Romans 12, verse 16, it says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Followers of Christ are empowered to live in humility, because that is not only what Jesus taught, as we see in this parable about the banquet in today's gospel. It's not only what Jesus taught, but it is what Jesus did. It is the path that he walked, the lowly path he walked for our salvation. He who, as it says in what is believed to be the earliest Christian hymn still existing, if you look it up, it's in Philippians chapter 2, and it goes like this. He who possessed everything emptied himself, humbled himself, made himself nothing. Therefore, God lifted him up high, gave him the name that is above all names. We Christians have as our God one who intentionally made himself low. One who humbled himself. One who guides us in walking that same walk of humility. John Dixon wrote a book. There aren't a whole lot of books out there about humility. But John Dixon wrote one called Humilitas, and it's on the subject. And he teaches in there about how Jesus historically was the fulcrum for the rise of humility as a virtue. He says that until Jesus' time, humility was not any virtue at all. But Jesus lifted it as a virtue, and then from him and beyond, humility is seen as a virtue. John Dixon was a speaker at a Habitat for Humanity convention I was at a few years ago. And before his days as a scholar and author, John was the lead singer of a somewhat successful band in Australia. In that time, the band played everywhere from schools to prisons, pubs, and even in an occasional Aboriginal community in the outback of Australia. One time in 1992, they were invited to perform in an indigenous community on the top end of the country on the Dalley River. As a big meal of goose and turtle and roasted water lily nuts was being prepared for them, they all sat down around the fire, and they had the opportunity to learn to play the didgeridoo, the famous wind instrument that they used in their sacred ceremonies and celebrations. Well, their Aboriginal friends asked the band if they wanted to learn how to play the didgeridoo. And all the band members got excited, having a deep regard for Australia's Aboriginal heritage. And John pushed himself forward to the front of the line. And for the next 5 minutes, he watched as that old Aboriginal fella spit down the hardwood log that was hollowed out until saliva frothed over the top of the mouthpiece and dribbled out onto the dirt in front of him. Then he passed it to John. And he said, "Play, put your lips on the mouthpiece." Without any indication that this was some kind of a crass joke to be played on visitors, he said to John, "Just blow real slow and smooth." "There I was," John said, "sitting in the dirt by a crocodile swamp, about to eat half-cooked, ant-infested turtle, preparing to pucker up to the most saliva-lubricated thing I have ever seen. I pressed my lips on the beeswax mouthpiece, took a deep breath, and blew. And I am so glad I did." Within a few weeks of his lesson, John began playing the instrument fairly well, and they began to incorporate it into their live performances, and it's even on two of their albums. John speaks of that scene as a scene of forced humility. He said he didn't want to be sitting there in the dirt sharing bodily fluids with his old Aboriginal friend. The moment was sort of forced upon him, but he was glad for the lesson. Sometimes, he said, sitting in the dirt, puckering up to the horrible, is the exact place that you might pick up skills that you hadn't picked up elsewhere. Think about it. I think that's what Jesus was encouraging his friends to do. Invite those crippled people home. Invite those blind people into your home for a meal. It might be hard, but you might learn something. It is in the confrontation at work where you decide to back down, the limitation that you concede in front of others, the moment that scrutiny finds you out. These humbling places are often the places of growth. Humility is sometimes found in opening ourselves up to the vulnerability of being wrong, receiving correction, and asking others, "How do you think that I might do better. The low place then becomes the high place. It's the place where we develop as disciples. Speaking of humility and as being teachable, there's a story that's told of President Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln once got caught up in a situation where he wanted to please a certain politician. So he issued a command to transfer a certain number of the regiments. When the Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, received the order, he refused to carry it out. He said, "The president is a fool." Lincoln was told what Stanton said. And he replied, "Well, if Stanton said I'm a fool, then I must be, for he's nearly almost always right. And so I'll see for myself." And as the two men talked, the president quickly realized that his decision was a serious mistake, and without hesitation, he withdrew it. Another illustration of humility. There is a pastor friend of mine. She just retired a year ago. And the way that she grounded herself in reality was to take all of her framed degrees from college and seminary, all of those accolades that had been framed, and she put them up on the wall of her laundry room above the washing machine. A reminder, with all of those pedigrees, still she's got to do the laundry. There is no task beneath her. How do we go about pursuing humility? Isn't it elusive?